Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. If you call this your church home and you were not here last Sunday or this past Thursday, I strongly encourage you to get the downloads of those messages. We spoke Wednesday as well in our revival prayer meeting. Appreciate all of you that made your way out to the house of the Lord and sacrificed with us this week in our 3 days of prayer and fasting. We didn't record Wednesday night, so just Sunday night or Sunday and Thursday. If you were not here and you desire to be a part of what God is doing in our midst, I want you to get the downloads of those messages so that you can better understand what God has begun speaking to us about. Amen. I mean, I know God's been talking to us this week. Some very, very powerful, powerful things have been going on. And when God does a thing, he does it methodically, and he speaks to his people, and he ushers his people into new dimensions and new territories, and the word of the Lord has went forth in a very powerful way. And so if you were unable to be here, please get the downloads, because more than just having good church and more than just having normal moves of God, God's been talking to us, and God's been dealing with us, and God has been moving in our midst with an intensity and with an urgency in order to prepare us for what I believe he's doing and what he desires to do in an even greater way in our midst. If you believe that, say amen. I turn your attention towards the text from which God has been speaking to us as a church about these last few services and prayer meetings. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, and here it is, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation. And the Lord has been speaking to us about this day of visitation. Amen. We can just put the same slide up as we've been putting up this week. Our day of visitation. I believe the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. I believe God desires for us to have a day of visitation like what we've never witnessed before. Somebody said amen. For we've heard the Holy Ghost talking to us and telling us that before all of this wraps up, before the end time all comes to a finality, before the rapture takes place, there's going to be one more great visitation of God's glory. There's going to be one more great visitation of God's power and his presence upon our families, upon our homes, upon our churches, upon our communities, upon our nation, and upon our world. I believe there's going to be one more great visitation of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just a good service. I'm not talking about just having one or two get the Holy Ghost. That's not what I'm talking about when I say a day of visitation. I'm talking about a sweeping move of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about an unleashing of the presence and the power of Almighty God upon a people and upon a land and upon a country and upon neighborhoods and upon cities. Does anybody believe that in the house? And this is what God's talking to us about. I believe he's trying to prepare us for this, and he's wanting to get as many of us as possible on board in faith, believing that there is one more final day of visitation still yet to be witnessed before it all wraps up. One preacher, in regards to a city and to the nation in which he lived, he said this, and I quote, "Revival is the greatest need, and until met, all other efforts to supply every other need are in vain." Revival is the greatest need, and all other efforts that we are using to supply all other needs are in vain. More than better politicians, our world needs a visitation of the presence of God. More than the passing of more laws, our world needs an apostolic invitation or apostolic visitation of the presence of Almighty God. More than more man-made ideas concerning social reform, our world needs an apostolic visitation of the presence of Almighty God. And this day of visitation won't be something that can be structured, and it won't be something that can be planned. And it won't be something that can be dictated to. It won't be anything that can be confined. It won't be anything that can be figured out ahead of time. It is going to be a sovereign work of the Holy Ghost. It is going to be a sovereign move of God's glory that will accomplish what needs to be accomplished in order for us to have one final, last in time revival before the trump of God sounds. And I want it. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. I want my hands to be in it. I want to be right in the middle of everything God desires to do in the last days. Come on, if that's the way you feel, put your hands together. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want to see it. The pastor of the world's largest church, which is in Korea, has over 500,000 members, made this statement, and I quote, "There is one great difference in the church in America and the church of Korea. The church in America has much program, but little prayer. The church in Korea has much prayer and little program." Hear me. God is looking for a people with a spiritual hunger that is burning within them in these last days. For more than program, it'll be spiritual hunger that releases, that is released through the avenue of prayer, that convinces God that my community is ready for a visitation, and my neighborhood is ready for a visitation, and my city is ready for a visitation, and my church is ready for a visitation. It's going to be spiritual hunger. It's going to be spiritual hunger that drives us. It's going to be spiritual hunger that propels us. Somebody said amen. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong here today. And as I begin to pray, prepare, and as I begin, as God began to speak to me about this spiritual hunger and how it's going to be ready, and it's going to show him that our homes and our neighborhoods are ripe for a visitation of God's glory. I just felt the prompting of the Holy Ghost that our community groups are going to start looking different than what they look right now. I'm all for the fellowship, and I'm all for all this kind of stuff, but I just want to be open. I said, I just want to be open for whatever God wants to do. I don't want us to get so entrenched in the way that we always want to do it, that if he says, I want to bust out a revival in that neighborhood and I want to use your community group to do it, I don't want us to be so accustomed to doing it the way we've always done it that we can't be open to a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost as he begins to work. Come on, somebody, next time you go to community group, as you're going to community group, I don't want you to go there just thinking we're going to have a little snack and we're going to talk a little bit and we're going to pray a little bit, but I want you to go there with an expectation in your spirit that today could be the day that God visits us with a demonstration that'll shake our neighborhoods for the glory of God. Oh, more than just coming to church for what we can get out of it. Is there anybody that has a spiritual hunger for something greater? And I just go to church and I just like what I feel, and I like the preaching and I like the teaching and I like the presence of God, and I like clapping and I like singing and I like what I get, and we just feed and feed and feed, and I bet I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to somebody and speaking to our church saying, more than just coming to church for what we can get out of it, is there a spiritual hunger that is burning within you for something greater, more than the usual ebbs and flows and ups and downs that a church encounters throughout the course of a year? is there anybody that has a burning passion within you to touch with your own hands that which you've only heard with your ears as it applies to the things of God? I want to touch it. I don't want to just hear about it. I just don't want to kind of come and go and come and go and ebb and flow. I want to touch the things of God. And if he's promised it to us, I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. But he's looking for passion. He's looking for burning passion. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for spiritual hunger that will drive us for something more. He's looking for spiritual hunger that'll push us beyond everything that has hindered us. He's looking for spiritual hunger that'll push us beyond everything that has stopped us and every excuse we've always given for why we can't do and see everything God wants us to see and do. I want to know who in the house has real hunger for a move of the presence of Almighty God that'll shake our world. More than petty arguments, more than disagreements, more than contentious viewpoints for who did right and who did wrong in the church. Is there anybody who's willing to strive for unity in order that the entirety of the church might witness a last day Book of Acts revival? Come on, church. There's 10 million people in Chicago. We got to get beyond ourselves. We got to get beyond my feelings and what I think and what I feel about it. There's too many lost people. We need a visitation of the presence of Almighty God. More than titles, more than position, more than who gets to do what and who doesn't get to do what, who got picked first and who got picked second, who sings in what service, what they sing, what songs, are they fast, are they slow, who's preaching, how long is the service going to be this Sunday, the service was too loud, it was too hot, it was too cold, who's wearing what, the latest this, the latest that. We've got to get beyond all of that. We got to get a revival that shakes us to our core. We got to get a hunger that pushes us beyond all of that silly, trivial, nonsensical stuff that keeps us from our day of visiting. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Come on. God is seeing who's ready to get serious about it. Do you just want to keep talking about it, or do you want to get serious about it? There's churches all over the world that talk about it, but who is it that's going to get serious about it? Who is it that's going to be willing to push beyond in order that we might touch and experience? Do we really think the 9.5 million people in Chicagoland who Do we really think they care who's singing in what service? 9.5 million people that are lost and addicted and going to hell. Do we really think they care if we sing fast songs or slow songs? Do you think they care if we get out at 1 o'clock or 1:30 or 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock? Our world doesn't care if so-and-so isn't talking to so-and-so. Our world doesn't care who got picked over whom. Our world doesn't care about the church drama that always seems to arise right before visitation. Come on, I've been doing this long enough to understand what I'm talking about. Right before a move of God, right before revival hits, right before an outpouring of God's presence, the enemy's going to start messing with hearts, and he's going to start messing with souls, and he's going to start messing with lives, and that carnality's going to start creeping up, and that carnal mindsets are going to start creeping up, and division is going to start happening, and broken things are going to start happening, and messed up things are going to start happening. Why? Because the enemy's afraid. The enemy's afraid. The enemy's afraid of what's about to happen, and our world doesn't care about all that junk. They just need to know, how is it that my life is going to be changed? I'm looking for something greater, and I don't know what it is, but we know what it is. They need a day of visitation. We got the answer to their problem. We've got the answer to their need. They've got to have a day of visitation. Mm. Well, I want to do it my way. And I want this, and I want that, and I want the church this, and I want it to look like this, and I want everything to be structured this way, and I want everything to flow this way, and I want everybody to accommodate this and accommodate that. Hear me, hear me. Is there anybody that just has a hunger greater than everything else to witness what Isaiah saw when he said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I want to do. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and he was high, and he was lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Ready? The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth, the beginning of the verse speaks of us getting our eyes off of ourselves and getting them on him. And the last part of the verse speaks that when that happens, the whole earth is going to see and be full of his glory. Get my eyes off myself. And I'm preaching to myself right now. Get my eyes off of myself. What I want, what I feel, what I think. What I think the church should do this for me. What I think the church should offer this for me. Well, the church is there to do this for me and help me in this area and allow me this thing and accomplish and allow me to be accomplished in whatever in this particular area. The church is all about serving me. But the word of the Lord is speaking to us and the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And he's saying, if you could ever get your eyes on the throne, if you could ever get your eyes on the Lord sitting upon the throne, and lift it up. It'll be in that day that the earth will be full of his glory. The entire earth will have a visitation of the presence and the power of Almighty God. The earth. Our cities need to be filled with his glory. Our neighborhoods need to be filled with his glory. Chicagoland needs to be filled with his glory. So more than talent, God is looking for spiritual hunger. More than abilities, God is looking for spiritual hunger. More than proving who's right, God is looking for someone that has spiritual hunger. More than proving a point, God is looking for spiritual hunger. More than someone's personal advancement in the kingdom of God, God is looking for someone that has spiritual hunger. Trust me right now when I tell you, I am not thinking of any one person right now. I am not singling one person out right now. If you feel that I am, that's the Holy Ghost talking to you. It's not me. I don't have one person in mind right now. I just know how the church operates. Sometimes I know how the church operates, and the Holy Ghost desires for us to have a spiritual hunger that pushes us beyond the petty and pushes us up beyond the minor and pushes us beyond the superficial junk that impedes the progress of revival upon our land. Come on, church. Is there anybody that's spiritually hungry for God to visit our world and our cities and our workplaces one more time before the end time? I'm revival. One more time. One more time. One more time. Send it one more time. Visit us one more time. I believe this day of visitation is described very well in the Gospels when it says in John chapter 3 and verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth or where it wants to. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it came and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind that is being spoken of here is in reference to the Holy Ghost or to the presence of Almighty God. And he's letting us know that with this outpouring, and we believe this is speaking of it in individuals, infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you'll hear the sound of the Spirit. They'll begin to speak with other tongues. It's not them doing it. It's the sound of the Spirit of God speaking through them. But the principle and what the overall context of this verse is letting us know that when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost flows upon mankind, we're not going to know from where it came and we're not going to know from where it's going. All we're going to be able to see and witness is the effects that it has upon the people. And I feel so deep in my spirit that it is the will of God to unleash upon this specific geographical area in which we reside a visitation of his power and a visitation of his presence in a way that we've never encountered before. And we're not going to know totally why it came. And we're not going to know with certainty where all it's going to spread from here. But we're going to be able to witness the effects that it has upon the lives and the hearts of so many while it is being poured out. For if we could know where it came from, then we would be able to say and dictate to it again. But we're not going to know, Sister Vivian. We're not going to have a real understanding of the depth and the magnitude of from which it came. And we're not going to be able to say, now go here and now do that. Because it's not going to be within our power to dictate to this sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. But we are going to be able to see the effects thereof. And I am ready. I said, I am ready to experience a move of God that cannot be confined to our little box. I'm ready to encounter a demonstration of his glory that I can't plan and that I can't orchestrate and that I can't figure out in my own carnal mind. I'm hungry for an outpouring of God's Spirit that can't be measured and it can't be compared to something that we experienced in God in days gone by, and we won't be able to take the credit for it, and we won't be able to say we played a major part in it, for we won't even truly know the extent and the totality of everything that's taking place, but we will see the effects of it. And the effects of that day of visitation will do more than just affect 5 or 10. It is going to affect hundreds and thousands of people. We are going to start seeing somewhere the church. Somewhere the church as a whole is going to start seeing the effects of crippled people being prayed for in grocery stores and God healing them instantly. We're going to start seeing the effects of blind eyes being opened in the lunchroom at work. We're going to start seeing the effects of salvation flowing to people right out on the street. And I believe we're already beginning to see it. You weren't here Thursday. We told the church Thursday, but Brother Ron, Sister Renette, Sister Vivian, and Sister Vera, we got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from a lady from Florida that said her sister, who lives in a high-rise apartment building right on Lake Michigan, downtown Chicago, is it cancer? She has cancer. But not only that, the sister said, I want you to go and pray for healing, but she needs the Holy Ghost more than that. And so Brother Ron, Sister Renette, Sister Vivian, and Sister Vera drove down there a couple of days ago, went up to the 8th floor of this apartment building. That lady was there. They began to pray for her. The presence of God fell. And such a beautiful, I don't know if we have any pictures or if they can put them up or not, but the presence of God fell so beautifully in that apartment building. They prayed for her and prayed for her. And God, and he said the Holy Ghost was all over. He said, that she got so close to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I believe it's just a matter of time. But in that living room was her granddaughter, 14-year-old, 15-year-old granddaughter. And when that granddaughter began to look, and that granddaughter began to see the prayers going forth of the saints, and she began to feel the presence of God, she came over, laid her hands on the group as they were all huddled there praying. And all of a sudden, Brother Ron, Sister Annette, Sister Vera, and Sister Vivian felt that the Holy Ghost started to speak to that young lady. So they turned and began to lay their hands on her. And in just a few moments' time, God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost right there in that living room on the 8th floor of a high-rise apartment on Lakeshore in downtown Chicago. What am I saying? I'm saying God is already starting to do it. He's beginning to do it. He's beginning to do it. And if you want to get a part of it, now's the time. Now's the time to get a part of what God is doing in this final day visitation. See, that's not something we could have planned, Brother Steve. We didn't even know that lady existed. We didn't even know that 15-year-old girl existed. That's not something we could have orchestrated. But the Holy Ghost began to move. And the Holy Ghost knows who's hungry. And the Holy Ghost knows who's ready. And the Holy Ghost knows more than what we know. And if we'll just get ourselves out of the picture and let the Holy Ghost work and visit this place one more time, He's going to lead us. Lead us to a revival like we cannot imagine. Somebody said amen. I'm going to cut some stuff out here. I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to do something. But let me just tell you. I want you to allow your understanding to rise right now. Because even now as we begin to preach this, I don't know that all of us fully understand, and none of us can fully understand. But I think sometimes as we talk about revival, so many of us go to saying, okay, well, he's talking about a certain scheduled services, and we bring in an evangelist, and we see a few people get the Holy Ghost and a few people baptized. I'm talking about more than that. Let me tell you about the great revival that began in New York City right before the Civil War broke out. At that time, our country was in a terrible shape. The nation was divided over slavery. Materialism and greed had gripped the country because of the Industrial Revolution, and sin was at an all-time high. It was a wicked, wicked time. But in the midst of all of that wickedness and sinfulness, there was a man whom none of us have probably even heard of by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere. And this Mr. Lamphere, he decided, I'm going to start a prayer meeting. And so he said, on this certain day, I'm going to have a prayer meeting at the church. And he invited a bunch of people. And on the first day of prayer meeting, the time for the prayer meeting to start came and went, and nobody showed up. And he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And eventually, after waiting for a long time for somebody to show up, eventually 6 businessmen showed up and joined him for prayer. The next week, he had 23 businessmen in prayer. The next week, he had 40. The next month, he had over 100. Brother Hawks, I thought of you. What you're doing, that Monday morning stuff. I thought of you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can ask him after church. The next month, he had over 100 praying. The month after that, every room in the church was filled with people praying. Within 6 months, 150 more prayer meetings were taking place all over New York City. In those 150 prayer meetings, there was an estimated 50,000 people in attendance crying out to God. In due course, every major city in the nation had similar prayer meetings going on. It spread. One man, then 6, then 40. Many reports said that upwards of 50,000 people a week were getting saved. Do you see what just happened here? Uh There were so many people to baptize that they couldn't get them all into the churches to baptize them. So it was recorded that they would take them down to the river, which was frozen, cut holes out in the river and baptize people because there were so many people to baptize. It's documented that this great revival emptied out jails. It emptied out prisons. It emptied out theaters. It put judges out of work. Cops didn't have anything to do. Major newspapers carried the news of this revival because it was the greatest thing happening in the cities. It was the greatest thing happening. So all of the major newspapers were reporting it. It was noted that as ships, get this, as ships from other countries drew near to American ports, they didn't even dock yet. They didn't even step foot on land yet. As they drew near to American ports, a conviction of sin would hit them. Conversions were happening when they were still docking onto the dock. On one ship, the captain and his crew of 30 men were all converted on their boat just by getting close to a land where a visitation was taking place. This is what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody, get your eyes. Get your eyes. So, see, here's our problem. So many times we look around and we see all these empty seats and we start thinking, I just don't know how God's going to fill these empty seats. For God to fill these empty seats, oh man, it would have to be something great. It would really, really, and we think it is so hard for God to fill these empty seats. And the entire newspapers are reporting the revival. It is estimated conservatively that during this two-year period from 1857 to 1859, there were 2 million people added to the church. Million people. 2 million people added. This would have been roughly 1 out of 30 people. Brother Tony, stand right there. Lift your hands. I spoke Wednesday and Thursday that there's a 20-soul revival attached to many people in this room. Brother Tony, there's a 20-soul revival attached to you right now. I want you to lift your hands right now. Million people. It would have been roughly 1 out of every 30 people in the United States turning their hearts to the Lord without the use of one program, without the use of any human engineering at all, without the use of one man-made thing at all. It was a divine move of the Holy Ghost. It was a day of visitation that caused 1 out of 30 people to turn their hearts to the Lord. Hear me. But it didn't just stop. I want you to get this and I'll be done. It didn't just stop in America. For you can't contain this. It's what I'm talking about. Because we didn't create it, we can't contain it. It's not our revival. So it couldn't be contained in America. So it jumped over the ocean and it spread to Ireland. And the revival in Ireland was described like this, and I quote, "The fire of God fell and the word went on in such marvelous power in some parts of Ireland that the courts adjourned because there was no more cases to try." Jails were closed because there were no more prisoners to incarcerate. And in some places, even the grain stood out in the fields because men were so taken up with the things of God and of eternity that they had no time to tend to their fields. Many of the most notorious and hardened and hopeless sinners in the land were converted and thoroughly transformed. One preacher spoke of staying up all night long in the church because there were so many people that needed him to instruct them about what they needed to do to be saved. And he would talk to one and teach him a Bible study and pray for him and then move to another one. And he wrote of being up all night long when finally, early in the morning, when he finally did leave the church, the sun was coming up and he looked down the road and every house on the porch of those houses were people standing waiting for him to pass by. So as he would pass by, they would say, "Tell me what I need to do to be saved." It took him so long that he didn't even get home to walk those few blocks until night came. Do we really want it? Okay. All night services were commonplace. It's 1:30. We got to go. Church is over. Do you really think a visitation of the Holy Ghost, we can tell God it's 1:30? We'll see you next Sunday. He'll say, "No, you won't. I'll move. I'll just move to somebody that wants me." Exhausted ministers would eventually dismiss only to have the majority of people remain in prayer. One witness of this great revival reported this happening, and I quote, "One young boy stood in school and testified about what God had done in his life. And in just a few moments, the power of God felt so strong that the entire school was on its knees. The prayers were so loud that they could be heard from the street. So men and women," this sounds like Book of Acts, "men and women and children would come into the school to see what the noise was all about, to see what was going on." And it's recorded that as soon as they would step over the threshold of the school, the power of God would grip their soul until the entire school was filled with men and women and children seeking after God. I do too, Brother Favel. And I want us to notice that the common denominator of all of these accounts is the fact that it was a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. It was not personality driven. It was not program driven. It was deity driven. But deity moved because there was a hunger. More than good church, I want a visitation. "Well, Pastor, you know, I got all this stuff I got to take care of, and I got to do all this and accomplish this and do this, and I'm involved in this and I'm involved in that and all this kind of stuff. And it'll be good for it's good for me just to be there on some Thursdays and some Sundays." And God says, "You know what? I'm looking for hunger, spiritual, deep hunger." "Well, God knows I'm there. I don't even miss a service. I don't miss a service." And yet sometimes we maybe just sit there. We just sit and we just enjoy the show. And it's just what we do on Thursdays. It's just what we do on Sundays. And if God moves, great. If he doesn't move, there's always next Sunday. And God says, "I'm looking for spiritually hungry people that would be willing to get themselves out of the way so I can move." That's what he's looking for. He's looking for hunger. And he's looking for people that say, "This isn't about me. This isn't about what I want. This isn't about what I think. Because when God looks for a church to visit, he's looking for a church that will give him the glory for the visitation. This isn't about me at all. This isn't about what I want, what I think at all. I just want to get myself totally and completely out of the way. And when we do that, it opens an avenue for God to say, now I can work. I wonder if we could stand to our feet right now. I want my attitude to get out of the way. I want my heart to get out of the way. I want my preconceived mindsets to get out of the way. I want my pride to get out of the way. I want my arrogance to get out of the way. I want my lack of faith to get out of the way. I want my attitude of indifference to get out of the way. I want my lack of passion to get out of the way. I want my carnality to get out of the way. I want my pursuit of wealth and worldly things to get out of the way. I want my unforgiving heart to get out of the way. I want my lack of spiritual hunger to get out of the way. I want Anthony to get out of the way of a divine move of God. I wonder if somebody could lift your hands right now.